everybody. How's it going? It's Nick Baldwin. Welcome back to Command Your Social. And I've got my co-hosts with me, Jesse and Leslie. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello. It's great to be here. I'm super excited for our topic today. It's a heavy one, but a fascinating one. And I'm grateful for the time.
Well, we're coming off a whirlwind week. Whirlwind week, WWW. A whirlwind week from family reunion, the Keller Williams conference that was in Orlando. I was physically there. The two of you were virtually or digitally there, correct? And you were able to watch some of the great sessions.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I was able to watch one of your sessions, Nick, and I would love to dive deep into it. I know Jesse and I have tons of questions for you, but
that brings me to our guest. Right? Well, yeah, that brings me to our guest. We're going to be interviewing me.
Yeah.
So that's a change from the norm. We just couldn't get a guest. No, I'm just kidding. people were like, that show? I don't know if I want to spend 30 minutes with those crazy kids. Yeah. So you're going to be interviewing me around social media and mental health, because the session that I did at Family Reunion, well, one of the sessions was around wellness, physical and mental well-being. And it's a really important topic, and we don't talk about it enough, especially, when you're in a position of leadership in a specific industry or a company or an organization. You know, you always are told that you need to have a smile on your face, and sometimes it's just not possible. And it hurts to smile so much. Your cheeks start to get sore. That's a whole other topic. Corny dad jokes. I had to start with a dad joke.
No, but I will say that, you know, sitting in your session, Nick, I know you impacted so many people. And
well, the session was about mental health and well-being, right? And physical health. And right. Okay, cool. I just wanted to let everyone know what the session was
about. Yes. And that session was so, so impactful, because a lot of the leaders up there were being vulnerable. You yourself were being vulnerable. Why don't you recap just a little bit about the session so that, you know, we can grab some context for the listeners.
So the session was with Sarita Dua, who is an awesome mega agent in Keller Williams. It was with Sam Metzger, who is on a team called, like, I think, the Compass Real Estate Team at Keller Williams. They're out of Canada. And they do like something like 250 units. And then Jordan Freed, who is like an executive leadership maps coach, and he's pretty awesome. So it was a pretty vulnerable conversation where we talked about, you know, we talked about physical health, mental health, physical and mental well-being. And I specifically talked about how I deal with my depression, anxiety, and ADHD. And how that's affected me through my life, and how, you know, in the last 3 years or so since I was diagnosed with ADHD, how it really just kind of helped everything come together. It was the domino effect. And it was like the last, I guess, ingredient of my mental, What, Jesse?
Like the last piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Together for you. Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't realize that with ADHD, your mind is just really flustered all of the time, and you can't control it, and you can't put your thoughts together. And then that makes you really, really anxious. So that brings on the anxiety. And then the anxiety doesn't allow you to think straight. And then that brings on the depression. And so once you figure out that last piece of the puzzle, like you said, it really just makes everything come together, and it helps. And you can then finally put like a label on what you have, and you're able to get the right treatment, and you're able to kind of, well, for me, medicate the right way. And medication has greatly helped me. I'm a big proponent of that, but it's not the only thing that helps with that type of thing. But yeah, so it was a really great session. Lots of vulnerability. I didn't cry, but a couple people did.
I can't cry because I'm too well medicated.
Right. Like, I am incapable of crying.
Yeah.
Because I'm on so many happy pills.
But you know, Nick, I think I think the biggest thing, just listening to you, I love being your partner, by the way.
Ah, thanks. And
I have a lot of respect for you because having courage and getting up there and being vulnerable is a big deal, you know, and to talk about something that may be shoved underneath the rug in every facet in any industry, I think it's super powerful. Number one. Number two, I think when you come to realization of what your needs are, and if it's medication or if it's other things to help you normalize and stabilize your physical and mental well-being, then you get to perform and be the person that you need to be for your family, for your children, for your beautiful wife, right?
Just be yourself, right? Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there was a long time when I wasn't getting the help that I needed, and there were a lot of ultimatums in my relationship. Because here's the thing, when you're feeling really good, you don't think you need the help. And then when you're feeling really bad and down, you like mentally don't want to get the help. So it's like a double-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you got to be somewhere like in the middle to really decide, okay, this is something I need to take care of. It's funny because like when I'm feeling good, and I'm talking to my therapist, I don't have anything to talk about. You know what I mean? I'm like, everything's great. I'm like, are we done?
Yeah.
And then my wife's like, did you talk about that thing? I'm like, oh, I totally forgot, because I'm not in that negative mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's just really weird place to be. That's why it's so hard, I think, for people to get help, because like I said, you either feel really good and don't think you need it, and then you feel really bad and just can't bring yourself to get the help. And we have to think about that.
What is it about mental health and social media, or social media's effect on it? Like specifically, is it all about comparison and like feeling inadequate?
Well, or
like what is the connection and the problem?
I think, first of all, social media is super negative if you want it to be. If you want it to be super negative, it can be super negative. If you want to get into arguments with people and you want to have a Facebook war, you know, it's easy to do that. You know, the cool thing about Facebook is that it's an algorithm. So if you want to see negative things that are going to make you angry and sad, just keep clicking on those things. For me, you know, I think what's going on in the world right now can be very dangerous. Mentally, we're literally living through enormous historical moments. I mean, a 2-year pandemic, mm-hmm. and now there's a war going on, and an invasion of a country. So like, you know, these things can take a toll on your mental well-being.
It's real and it's scary as hell. So
yeah. And yeah. I think like I have a mix of things that, you know, listen, you got to keep up with what's going on in the world, and you got to make sure you get your information from the right sources. But so on my Facebook page, you know, there's reputable news sources that keep me in the loop with what's going on. But also, if you look behind me, I mean, you're watching a podcast, listening to a podcast, so you can't, but there's comic books on the wall behind me, comic books. So like, I have a lot of stuff in my newsfeed about comic books and Spider-Man and Batman, because I click on those things and I want to read about superheroes. So I am my newsfeed is curated with that stuff. So it's like a balance, but it can be, you know, we're in the real estate world, so that's a whole different story where like we're always comparing ourselves to other people in our industry. You know, who's selling more houses, who's making more money, or who looks like they're making more money, right? Like those things can be detrimental to your mental health. And one of the things that I said on stage in the session was, you know, when you're able to stop comparing yourselves to other people, you've reached a whole new level of freedom in your life, where you can just finally be okay with where you are. Like I told a story where I had a coach, I had a MAPS coach. If you're with Keller Williams, MAPS is their coaching platform. I had a MAPS coach like, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, probably something along those lines. Probably 7 years ago. And I remember that year I had done 10 million in volume on my own, which was like the first year that I did that. And I felt really good about myself. And, you know, I grossed like $250,000 or $300,000, which was huge for me. And I think it'd be huge for anybody. So my coach said, yeah, but Nick, would you really be okay with only making $250,000 a year? And I thought to myself, you know what? You're fired. like, of course, who wouldn't be okay with make the average family in America has an income of like 70 grand, like a family, right? The median income of a family is like 70 grand. Of course, I would be okay with making 250 to 300,000. Like to even ask me that question and to downplay that amount of money. And when I said that in the session, everyone just started erupting in applause because how dare you? Like we're now downplaying $300,000.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of money, no matter how you cut it. You know what I mean?
A lot. And well, we know now that I think the number 75,000 that our happiness, like we can measure this now based off of the chemicals that are going through our brain. Our happiness doesn't increase at all after 75,000, no matter how much you make. I thought that was crazy.
Well, so, I think, yeah. I mean, I think that the more money you make, the more people say, oh, you know, I did hear a cool quote, but now I'm starting to believe, now I'm starting to not really believe it. It was like, as you, the only difference with having money and not having money is that when you don't have money, you have to think about money. And when you have money, you don't have to think about money. I kind of like disagree at this point because, you know, I make a good living, but I always, now I'm thinking about money even more because it's tax season. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God,
you're managing. Like,
yeah. I'm like, now I'm thinking to myself, where did it all go? You know what I mean? Like, as I'm about to pay the government. So I don't know if I believe that or not. I think all that of you a sudden, think 300, about
300,000 is either not enough money or too much.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, what's interesting about it is, you know, if we were to zoom out on this conversation around mental health and social media, and if I were to just put myself in a position of just being the average person on Facebook, it's a slippery slope. It's like, it could be like keeping up with the Joneses, right? And when you said, Nick, you know, your coach said, well, you know, why wouldn't you want this amount of money? And basically like, hey, let's kind of stay within the realms of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. That could kind of fit into that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And I love it because you're humble, you have courage, you're outspoken, which I really appreciate and some people don't like. Mm-hmm. But you I think at the biggest realm of this conversation is you are being you. And most people don't know how to be themselves on social media. And with somebody like you who is actually struggling with mental health, you're still doing it and you're kicking butt and you're taking names and you're hanging out with the top leaders in our industry, like Gary Keller and our good old friend, Jason Abrams. And, you know, we can name some other people here, but, you know, give us a kind of glimpse of the times that you do fall into the depression or anxiety and how do you get out of that mindset? How do you pull yourself out? So that listeners can just feel the realness of who you are.
Yeah. So I was talking earlier about how, you know, there is a consequence, I think, that comes along with being outspoken. I'm sure that there's opportunities that I haven't gotten, you know, I don't know what those are, but I'm sure that there's opportunities that would have come my way if I kept my mouth shut. But like, you know, it's hard for me to do that. I just think that there's
that you want.
Right. Exactly. So I think of it like that. I'm like, well, if I didn't say that one thing, maybe I would have gotten that opportunity. But then at the same time, it's like, do I really want an opportunity that depends on what I think about something? Like when I was regional technology trainer for Keller Williams for the Michigan Northern Ohio region, one of the reasons why I quit was because I was told to stop being so outspoken about things. And I was like, that's going to be really hard for me.
You're like, but you're just telling me to stop being who I am.
Yeah, I'm like, you're telling me to like, like I'm an independent contractor. Like, I'm not your employee. Like, if I was your employee, maybe that could be in my contract. But I think, you know, that's crossing the line of independent contractor and employee. And I'm like, I don't think that that's going to be something that I can do, because I feel it's important to be outspoken for people that can't really be outspoken. So after that conversation, I wasn't in the job for much longer. I wasn't let go because, well, I wasn't let go. I quit, but I wasn't. If I didn't quit, then I probably would have been let go. But like, and that's because I didn't want to shut up. But I don't feel like the things I was saying were controversial. Like, I don't feel that way, right? Like, I'm very outspoken about civil rights, and I'm very outspoken about equal rights, and I'm outspoken about anti-racism and things like that. So I don't feel like the things that I was outspoken about or am outspoken about are controversial. I don't feel they're political. I feel they're human. So that's the difference.
They're your values. Right? They're right. Your values. And we never think our values should be controversial. They're intrinsic to us. And like, yeah, we have to speak about them. You just you're a big thinker. And so you tend to zoom all the way out on things. And so you see a lot and feel a lot.
Yeah. Well, I also, and I'm going to answer your next question, Leslie, which is how do I pull myself out of a funk? But I also come from a town that's very mixed, like culturally. It's, you know, there's lots of different people living there from all different backgrounds. There's a big gay community. There's a big Jewish community. There's a big Black community. And it's a town called Montclair, New Jersey. And it's very culturally diverse. And so that's where I'm from. And I grew up with my neighbors being Black and Hispanic. And I grew up with best friends being Black and Hispanic. And that's just what I know. And so I've always just been outspoken when it comes to people who can't be as outspoken, or if they are, they're not heard. So that's the difference. So when I try to pull myself out of a funk, when I mentioned before, like, yeah, I get down. But like, I haven't had a really deep depression in a long time just because I have my medication all worked out, but medication isn't all of it. Like, there's other things that you have to do. So I work out 5 days a week, sometimes six. I read a lot, and this is one of the things I talked about in my session, was I stopped reading leadership and business books, but good thing Jesse reads them, so I don't have to.
Yeah, Jesse the coach. Yeah.
If you're following Jesse on TikTok, Jesse the coach on TikTok, she reads leadership, psychology, and business books and summarizes them in 30 seconds or less. So you don't have to read them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Very,
she just protecting hit 1,000 followers. She just hit 1,000 followers so she can go live on TikTok. She's extremely excited.
2,500.
Oh, you have 2,500 followers?
Right. I'm telling you, I'm very famous. Very famous. That's
what? Awesome. Oh my gosh, I gotta get on TikTok. What should I talk about? We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So I think it's important. So I read fiction because I feel that it helps my imagination. And when my imagination is running wild, I feel better about myself. The reason why I don't read leadership books or business books anymore is because I feel like everyone has a different approach, and it was hard for me to figure out which direction I should go in, because I was, you know, very impressionable, and I was trying to, you know, at that point lead a market center, and I was reading this book which told me to do this and that book which told me to do that, and I got very overwhelmed and anxious about it. So instead, I get mentors and coaches, and I strike up relationships with people who are doing similar things or doing things that are bigger than what I'm doing, and create those relationships and network and just talk to people. Right. I think that that's a much more beneficial way. Because it's not an entire book. It's like little snippets of, and it's people that you know and that you trust. So that's what I tend to do now. But yeah, so it's just, and it's also hanging out with my wife. Every morning we have coffee together for about 15, 20 minutes. On the weekends, we have coffee in our bed before we get up and the kids are downstairs playing video games. And we also watch a show every night, at least one show, just to kind of hang out together on the couch. And maybe if she's not feeling like a cat, she'll snuggle.
Okay, this is your TikTok, by the way. You lead a very interesting family life. Like that is your niche. Your dad's story and your mental health story and just the story of your day is a fascinating TikTok.
Really?
Oh. Yes. Follow.
Maybe. Well, I need to watch your TikToks.
Yes, you too.
To figure out how to structure my first TikTok. Ooh, maybe I should do a TikTok channel on mental health.
Ooh, you could.
Yes.
Or maybe I should do the TikTok channel on like being the anti-guru.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Anti what everyone thinks.
Well, I do have a question. This is, yeah. This is an advice question.
Okay.
I don't know if you've experienced this exactly, but since I'm so famous, like you guys
know. Right. 2,500 followers famous, but no one's counting those.
I actually have experienced some like really nasty hate.
Oh,
like,
people haters. Let's talk about haters.
Yeah.
Oh, so, haters are your biggest fans.
Like, yeah. Like, haters are your biggest fans. Haters.
Yes.
Will
yes,
eventually sure. ask when you're hiring.
Well, so like creators, we can't set boundaries. We make the thing, we put it out there and there's no boundaries. I can't stop people from being haters. Right. And so my question is to retaliate or not to retaliate.
You know, Gary Vaynerchuk has a really great way of approaching his haters. He says that he doesn't get mad because he can't argue with how they feel. And, you know, there's something going on there with them for them to be so angry by just watching a 30-second video of you talking, mm-hmm. summarizing a book, right? Like,
yeah, I summarized someone
gets so angry at you for doing that.
They said I had a fat face and told me to shut up.
Oh,
wow.
Well, I mean, that's not very nice. That's not very nice at all.
It's also untrue. Like,
it's very untrue. It's very untrue. Like,
big cheeks. I don't know.
No, like, you know, my face is like an oval. You know what I mean? Like, Jesse, yours is a little bit more of a circle, but it's not fat by any means.
I didn't think so.
No.
You know what? This leads me to think, and I've thought this before, is that people will never approach you like they do in person.
I love that idea. That's a good topic.
And I just like to bring that up because Jesse, what you just said, I can't fathom. Could you fathom going up to saying somebody you're fat?
Jesse, imagine that person. Imagine you did that in person.
And shut up. Could you imagine?
Imagine you did that in person and the guy comes up to you and goes, you have a fat face.
Shut up.
Social media has created these false. So speaking of boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Social media has created these like false boundaries with each other. And then, you know, we have thousands of Facebook friends, but yet if we saw one of those Facebook friends in the grocery store, do you think we would say hi? Like that, when it all comes down around to it, it's just social media is an interesting platform because we all want to be like one another, but yet we don't want to talk the truth.
Mm. I'm still laughing at the person potentially coming up to Jesse in person and saying, your face is fat. Shut up.
That would make my day. Make my day.
Actually, that would make me laugh so hard.
Yes.
I would have to remind that person that we were in real life.
Right.
and not on TikTok.
This isn't the internet. You can't just
this is right
to people.
You can't just say those things to people for real.
Yeah.
Like, go back online.
And then, you know, it's like we're talking about the haters. And so I think what it all comes around to for me in this conversation about mental health, haters, social media, it's all about self-acceptance. So if we were able to accept ourselves first, work on ourselves first, then we could be the most authentic person, even here, you know, face-to-face or on social media. It doesn't matter, right? And like, how I relate to this is, and this isn't about me, but I used to teach yoga.
It can be about you for a few minutes. Leslie,
I used to teach yoga and people love me. And I also had some haters and some haters what? Would, you know, still come to my class.
What would they say?
It's interesting. They would still come to my class. Oh, it's too hard, you know, but Nick, coming back to you, it's
no,
true.
I want
to
know your yoga haters, because that's like, I feel like yoga is supposed to be like all, you know, and relaxing. No, how do you get mad at yoga?
How do you hate yoga?
Because you become uncomfortable with yourself on the mat.
It's true.
And if you become uncomfortable with yourself on the mat, it's because you need to work through things. And so I take this analogy back to social media and say, yeah, we do have haters, and yet it could be the projection of what they want, but they don't know how to get it. Or maybe they're feeling insecure and they see you as secure. And so they're going to become your hater or your biggest fan, like what we like to call them, right, Nick? So
yeah,
it's almost like what I see looking at you, Nick, the Nick Baldwin. You have completely stepped into yourself in a wholehearted way, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you still are a hustler. And
it makes me laugh when people talk about me like that.
The Nick Baldwin.
Yeah, because I'm just a guy.
You are. You're a great guy.
You're a very famous person.
Oh, please.
You're a celebrity.
But I think that, I think that, I think that it's important to, with people who hate on you on social media, it says more about them than it does about you. I always say that if you don't have haters, you're not doing it right. So I would be worried if people didn't like me. And I was having this conversation the other day with a friend. Like, I really don't care if people don't like me. Like, honestly.
Right. And that's like, the thing though, but that's a self-acceptance thing. That's you knowing who you are as a person. Yeah. So that like, if somebody were to come up to you in real life and say, your face is fat, shut up. You'd be like, that's hilarious.
I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I would. Uh-huh. Because I don't care if people don't like me. If someone doesn't like me, I know exactly why. Because I've heard it before. Nick, people don't like you because you're too outspoken. People don't like you because, you know, you don't kiss ass. People don't like you because you just have a different view on certain things or and it's usually like one of the three, right? Like, I'm not an ass kisser. I haven't like rubbed up to anyone to get to do the things that I've been able to do. I haven't, I say what I need to say. I say what I want to say. I say things that people don't want to hear. And I say things that other people are afraid to say. And nothing bad has really happened.
I think to Leslie's point a little bit, people don't not like you because of anything to do with you. People don't like you because they don't like themselves. Like,
right.
I see honestly more projection than anything else, anything else. Happy people don't make you feel bad. Secure people don't make you feel bad. They don't, it's energetically impossible. Like, we make you feel good.
But then I also have more people who appreciate the things that I say and do, right? Like, oh, I could never say and do the things that you do. And I love that you do that. Right. Like what you said, no one's ever said that. And it's so powerful. And when I did my session at family reunion talking about mental health, and a lot of people didn't know that these are the things that I go through you know, it gives people permission to come to terms with what they're going through and to
that's so huge, giving somebody permission.
Yeah, it comes to terms with them. It gives them. Yeah, that's what they said. It gave me permission to like talk about it. And I still have people messaging me. Yeah, I mean, it's super, feels really good when people do that.
Mm-hmm. You've normalized it. You've normalized it.
Well, I think like there's such a confusion around what depression is. Depression isn't being depressed. It's not like, you know, your goldfish died. Anxiety is not being anxious, and ADHD is not being confused. Right? there's
or scatterbrained.
Right. It's not. And I actually think depression is not the right term for it, because people always say, "Oh, I'm depressed," and that's why people don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, why has the health? Why can our body get sick, but our mind can't? You know what I'm saying? Like, when's the last time someone called out of work saying, "I can't come to work today. I'm sick." Well, what's wrong? I don't have very good thoughts.
Well, but it's not just your mind. It's your brain too. There are measurable pathways that are broken and need to be rebuilt when you have depression. That's why I appreciate people starting to say, "I have depression," or "I have anxiety," versus like, "I'm anxious," or I am depressed. No other language on the planet, by the way, says that. Like,
right.
If we fall and break our arm in the United States, we say, "I broke my arm." If you said that in any other country that speaks a different language, they would say, "Why would you do that, you psychopath?"
No one. Right. Oh yeah. Like, why would you go and break your arm? That's weird. Yeah.
I appreciate that little language flip about it, because having it can be an extreme, it's a life-threatening disease. It's a life-threatening condition. So,
well, you know, it's interesting because my 9-year-old Levi has Tourette syndrome, and he sometimes will go out and he has a tic that maybe it's a, like he had this tic that where he would scream really loud, like make a screaming sound. And so he was at the movie theaters with my wife the other day, and he screamed in before the movie started. And the guy next to him like jumped a little bit, right? Because it was
startled.
And then Levi said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He's like, "I have Tourette syndrome. Sometimes it makes me do things I don't want to do." And the guy goes, "Oh," he goes, "that's all good. My friend has that. I understand what it is. Don't worry about it." So like, he'll tell people, "Oh yeah, we were in the drive-thru like at McDonald's one day, and I was ordering him something and he screamed in the back seat and it was loud. And the lady was like, you know, got startled." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I have Tourette." Like, he does that, right? Cause he wants people to know what it is. And he wants people to understand.
Leader.
Oh, I see him owning it. And that's, yeah. And yes, this is what it's it awesome. Is. And yeah. And Leslie, you said leader. Absolutely. Like that will free other people to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the kid's doing.
What's the kid? Tourette is what the kids are doing now. You know what I mean? But, and I always make this, I said this when I was on the set in the session, because Tourette is one of those diseases where you think of it as people who curse uncontrollably.
Right.
And it's really not. Only like 10% of people with Tourette actually have that as a tick. So I said, so if someone with Tourette curses at you, chances are they just don't like you. You know, so it's more, but he has really great friends that understand it in school. His teachers are very understanding of it, and he is leading the way. And my wife started an Instagram for him that she posts to, and they're very involved in the Tourette Association of America. They wrote a book, a children's book about Tourette. It's called oh my God, now I'm forgetting the name of my kids.
What makes me?
Well, oh, what makes me me? Good job, what makes me me? Thanks, Leslie. Thanks, Leslie, for remembering the name of my kid's book. What makes me me? You can find it on Amazon, written by Ann Baldwin. And he's going to Tourette Sleepaway Camp this summer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting, because sleepaway camp, but he'll be with other kids that have Tourette.
But you know what, Nick, what's beautiful about your story about your son is that you've created a path, a healthy path for him to name his experience and be vocal. And mm-hmm. He's only how old?
He's right? 9. Like,
he's nine. Mm-hmm. But you and Anne have created a really healthy path for him so that he can understand what he's going through and be able to just say, yeah, this is who I am, you know? Yep. And I think that's pretty awesome, because as a parent, I know, and if you're a parent out there, we all know we can affect our children's paths and how we lead or don't lead for them. So,
yep, 100%. Well, we talk about it a lot in our house. We talk about mental health a lot. We talk about, you know, he knows that daddy has something that's similar to him because he has ADHD and anxiety too. So he knows that daddy has that. So we talk about that. Yeah, it's just important to be open and honest about it and let people know what's going on and normalize it and not make it like weird. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't go around going, hey, I'm Nick. Nice to meet you. I've got depression, anxiety, and ADHD. So I don't do that, but it's important to talk about it and normalize it and let people know what you're going through because it gives them permission. And also check on your strong friends. You know what I'm saying? Check on people who are always smiling. Check on your people who are in leadership. Ask them if they're okay, because they're usually looking out for everyone else and they're not looking out for themselves. Mm-hmm. So check on the people who you would say, oh, that person's fine. You know, check on those people and make sure when you check on them and you say, how are you doing? You actually mean it. Not like, hey, how are you? You know, like, hey, how are you doing? Like, are you okay? Is everything good in your life? You know, I just want to check on you and make sure, you know what I mean? And be ready for an answer that might be uncomfortable. So,
Very true. Yeah.
Well,
Thank yourself, Nick. Thank yourself.
Thank you. I'm going to say thank you to our guest. Oh, you're welcome. Nick, thank you for being here on the podcast with us. Not a problem. My schedule was wide open.
Very good.
And Jesse, thank you. And Leslie, thank you for the hard hitting questions.
Oh,
yes. No, thank you, Nick, for being who you are. And we love just getting to know you a little bit more. And I bet you your following will really appreciate this podcast. Thank you, Jesse, for being my partner in crime as well.
Well, hopefully I'll get at least half as many followers as Jesse.
That's doubtful. This is a rocket ship.
Gonna need to get on that TikTok finally. Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. Woo, all right, so if you're listening, that means that you've gotten to this point at the end and you enjoyed what you heard. So go ahead and subscribe, leave us a review, share it with your friends and family, share it on Facebook, share it on your TikToks. And we hope that you tune in to the next Command Your Social, and we will see you next time. Bye.
See you next time.
Bye.